No matter who you are, how good you are, or how bad you think you are, the God of the universe wants to be known by you. And he stands at the door and knocks. This is our God. Think about this. God knew you before he formed you in your mother's womb, before you were even flesh. He knew everything about you before you breathed your first breath. And now that you're here living and breathing, the God of the universe desires so deeply to be close with you. This is our God. You see, God is fascinated with you. He is constantly pursuing you. He wants an intimate connection with you. He wants fellowship with you. And if you open your heart to him, he will speak life into you. This is our God. When life is tough, when jobs are lost, when marriage gets hard, when it seems like all hope is lost, the God of the universe is your protector and your shield. He is the sovereign one. He is the beginning and the end. And there is no curveball that he did not see coming. There is no storm so loud that he won't hear your cry. And God is always with you. He's the God that goes before you. He's the God that goes behind you. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He loved you so much. He gave his only son for you. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And there is nothing you can do that can separate you from the love that the Father has for you. This is our God. He's not some distant thought or some unreachable object. He's here. He's alive right now. And his greatest desire is to know you, to walk with you, to live with you, to speak with you, to pour out his love on you. This is our God, and he is worthy to be praised.
Everyone, I hope and pray you are having a wonderful week, that God is blessing your steps, you're ready for another week, you're putting all things together, and you're worshiping God all along the way, because that's the only way you're going to have a truly victorious life. And when I say victory, I don't mean it's got to be, you know, a celebration and balloons blown up and, you know, firecrackers popping. Celebration could just be waking up in the morning with the breath of life. This is so important. This is so natural, but a lot of people did not wake up this morning. A lot of people don't have what you have. So don't feel like you don't have everything that you need because you don't have everything you want. Just stay focused and love him. Give glory to God. Amen? Amen. But you got to know, behind everything here on the earth, there is a spirit. And some things are God's spirit and some things are not. Okay? And there is no middle ground. No such thing. But I don't want to burst anybody's balloon this morning. But what I do want to say is God is with you no matter where you go and what you do. Any praise reports this morning? We're all listening. Amen. If not, we will move forward. Thank you, Father. Let's pray and get into our lesson. We had a nice lesson last week. It was a setup for this lesson. And this lesson is about the last seven punishments that God puts on the earth for those who stand against the Father. Amen. So, excuse me. Let's get right into it. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Dear Father, we want to thank you for this lesson. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for this time that we have in worship, in praise, and in knowing more about you, Father, your will and your purpose in our life. We thank you, Father. We pray for those who do not know where to go, who do not know God like we know God. We pray for them right now. And we pray that you send somebody to witness to them and give them the word of God. We thank you for all things in heaven and in the earth. And in Jesus' mighty name, we pray, amen and amen. Come in, Holy Spirit, and take over. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. In our lesson today, we talked about last week. Let me see if I can get some of that up just for a minute. Now, we talked about the upcoming seven vials. We also talked about the number seven last week, that the number seven was God's specific number. And we talked about some things in the Bible that dealt with that. We talked about the seven seals. We talked about the seven trumpet judgments, and that was God's number of completion. The seven churches of Asia, the seven spirits, the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars, the seven lamps, the seven golden vials, and the seven kings or kingdoms. And that's important to know, that that's the number of completion for God and for his children. So stay tuned. Okay? And so what we did was we laid the foundation last week for what is to come this week. Now, this week, we will talk about the seven vials or the seven bowls. So let's get into it. Now, the seven vials are punishments that God has put upon the earth because they stopped serving the living God. Now, last week, we laid the foundation, as we talked about. Now, the book of Revelations is the final book of the Bible, and it focuses on the ultimate end of all things, including the final victory of God over sin, over evil, and over death. Now, the seven vials, also known as the seven bowls, is God's wrath, the last and most intense of all the judgments that came through in Revelations. Okay? And some of those judgments have happened in different places through the Bible. It shows symbolism, okay? Or it shows that there's something that happened just like this in Egypt, or, you know, with Moses, or with many of the other believers in the Bible. From the temple, the heavenly temple, the scene of divine activity, a loud voice came from the heavenly temple to the seven angels with the seven bowls of wrath, or seven vials of wrath. It says, go and pour out the vials or bowls of wrath, that they are to be poured out and not sprinkled. Because he's not giving you a warning, and he's not playing this time. A lot of you have stayed out there in the street all your lives, and you're halfway in the church, you're halfway out. And some of you want to wait till you get old to retire from what you used to do. But it's not that time right now. It's a different season, and we need to be aware of that. Things are coming to you faster. Judgment is coming to you faster. And lots of other things are coming to you faster. So keep your eyes open and stay grounded and rooted within the word. Now, those who reject the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, they now receive the outpouring of the wrath of God. Now, it should be noted that this wrath is not for everyone. This wrath is aimed at a specific group. Number one, the wrath is poured out on the heathen. You can find that out in Psalms 79 and verse 8 and Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 25. It talks about it. These are reference scriptures. Now, number two, wrath is poured out on the desolate and apostate. What is apostate? A person who renounces God. Lamentations 4:11, Isaiah 42:25, and Daniel 9:27. Write these references down. Go study them in your Bible. Wrath is poured out on the worshipers of the beast and his image. Revelations 15:1. Zephaniah 3:8. Psalms 69:24. The bowls of wrath. Read Nahum 1-6. It is the indignation and the fierceness of God's anger that is poured out like fire. All the elements of nature are under God's control. And all the elements and nature were created for the good works of mankind, to bless him in the works of his hand. Now pay attention to this, because this is telling you how nature was set up, how the world was set up. But how the world has changed is why we are where we are right now. Now God now uses these very same elements that says nature, okay, that are under his control to judge mankind who has walked in agreement with man's fallen world and not with God. Rain, hail, storms, wind, seas, sun, moon, and the stars are all used to either bless mankind, or these very same elements will be used to judge mankind. Amos 4:7-8 and verse 13 also. Now let me read Amos. I've given you a lot of these reference scriptures. Let me read just one of them. We're going to read Amos. And this is Old Testament, but how is it referring to the New Testament, Revelations? Listen, pay attention. Amos 4, verse 7. I also withheld rain from you when the harvest was still 3 months away. I sent rain on one town, but withheld it from another. One field had rain, another had none, and dried up. People staggered from town to town for water, but did not get enough to drink. Yet you have not returned to me, declared the Lord. See, pay attention, because this is the important stuff. This is what it's all about. The people that did not repent, the people that won't repent, and the people that will not come back to God. But prepare to meet your God one way or the other. You'll meet him on the kind side, or you're going to meet him on the rough side of the mountain. Verse 13. Now that was verse 7 and 8 of Amos chapter 4. This is verse 13. Says, he who formed the mountains, who created the winds, who reveals his thoughts to mankind, who turns dawn into darkness, who treads on the heights of the earth, the Lord Almighty is his name. And that's all he's trying to let you know. Come back to him. You are his creation. But some of you have said, well, I was just born. You know, I just got here. My parents, you know, got together, and that's how I end up here. Well, some of us believe that, and some of us believe that he's the creator of all things in heaven and in the earth. And he also went to our end to establish our beginning. So therefore, he knows what we're supposed to be doing, where we're supposed to be, and how we ought to do all things according to the way, you know, history was written for us to carry out. And I'm talking about his history, not our own. Not the stuff in the history books, because that's nowhere near the truth either. So you can find some other references to the scripture that we're reading now. It's Matthew 5 and 45, Psalms 148 and 8, Psalms 104, 13, and Job 1 and 10. Now, some of my references, these are some of the books that I've read to get to where we are. There's a book by Kevin Connor, The Book of Revelations, A New Testimony and Commentary. All right. Also, Jimmy Swaggart has a good book out, The Prophecies and Symbols of Revelation, The Complete Book of Revelations. Also, The Holy Bible. And there's several other books that I read, okay, for Revelations, but you got to continue to educate yourself, open your mind. These are good reference books to read about Revelations. Now, Revelations chapter 16 and verse 1 and 2. This is what it says. This is the beginning of the chapter. Now, last week we did Revelations 15. We were setting up. Now we're into Revelation 16, where he releases the vials. Amen. Or he pours out the bowls. You'll understand. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out of the bowls of wrath of God on the earth. So the first went and poured out his vials or his bowl upon the earth. And a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshiped his image. Those are cancerous sores, ulcers, or balls. And this is judgment that is released. Amen? So you know it's going to be very, very uncomfortable for you to have balls all over your body or sores, okay? That's why it referred to Job, because that was what Satan did to Job to try to make him curse God and die. Now, those who have rejected the warning that was previously given, these judgments of God are on the godless world, not on the saints. Did you get that? It's those that don't serve God, is what it's saying. And those that have persecuted God's saints following the spirit of Antichrist, and they are slain or have been slain by the spirit. Amen. The first five vials of God's wrath bring suffering and torment upon the inhabitants of the earth. They all have heard the gospel ministered unto them and have rejected God's ministry. They have slain God's people and pour out innocent blood and set their own God. In other words, they set up their own God, is what I'm trying to say. Sometimes it's another man. Sometimes it is a spirit of Antichrist. And later on, it will be the actual Antichrist. Now, they must suffer the wrath of God's judgment in the flesh. The sores serve as a public sign of God's righteous anger against those who have defiled themselves. That's the first one, okay? They got sores and balls all over their bodies. Now let's see what the second angel brought. The second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of the dead man. And every living creature in the sea died. Pay attention, because this is going to get deep. This transformation of the sea into blood serves as a reminder of the blood of Jesus, which was shed for the redemption of mankind. However, mankind has rejected this atonement and chosen the path of wickedness. And when I say wickedness, I'm talking about things that you like doing. Oh, you know, like to go out and drink. You like to party. Oh, you like to shoot dice, or you like to go out and do all types of things other than serve the living God. And some of you may think it's completely innocent, but when you turn your back on God and then you turn around and do the things that you do, you set yourself just as a sinful man. Okay? A man is out there killing and stealing and doing, well, you set yourself in agreement or in alignment with that type of man just because you went hunting or you went fishing. You did not serve the living God. Neither did you acknowledge him. Amen. The sea. Well, let me say this. However, mankind has rejected this atonement, chosen a path of wickedness. And wickedness does not have to be evil. You know, killing and stealing. It could be just, I don't serve God. We just talked about that. Shedding the blood of innocent saints and prophets in their pursuit of the beast. Trying to show the beast you loyal to him. Or I'm going to get these people out of my mix. I don't like what they're doing. I don't like they go to church and try to act like they cleaner than us. Or they better than us. Got their nose all up in the air. Let's get rid of them. Okay. Now the sea is a reflection of their spiritual condition, their corruption, their pollution, their lifelessness. The creatures in the sea die, and their dead flesh causes the sea to become completely corrupt, like that of a dead person. The corruption of the sea symbolizes the consequences of humanity's sin and becomes red blood because vileness, corruption, pollution, disease, and dealing death. That's what's going to come out of that blood in the sea. It's going to be dealing death also. Now, one can imagine the stench, the filth, and vileness of a sea of blood. Pay attention, because it's going to get a little deeper. This is where the third angel comes. Now, we know he put sores all over the body, and then he what? He put blood into the sea. Now, what next? Pay attention. The third angel was called up and told to pour out his bowl on the rivers and the springs of water. And now the rivers and the springs of water become blood. Now, I know that we got to get water from somewhere, because we're not blood drinkers. And that's where we're leading. That's where we're heading. The situation literally points to the spiritual condition of mankind. The human blood is the source of sickness, disease, corruption, and death by reason of sin. See, blood signifies life, or is the evidence of death on the scene. Men do not normally drink blood, but fresh water, rivers and fountains of water. That's where we get our water from, our drinking water, our bathing water, our water that we use for everything around. It is the water of life. Now here God smites man's fresh water supplies. In Revelation, the world is continually faced with the truth of blood atonement, which mankind has rejected. Now, the world's rejection of God's redemptive plan leaves them to suffer the consequences of their own choices. The inhabitants of the earth are forced to drink from the cup of God's wrath. Amen. The bowl and vials of God's wrath, symbolized by the blood in the rivers and the springs. So that's where we get our drinking water from. Excuse me, I need a little bit right now to clear my throat. All right. Okay. Now, this is what happened next. And it shocked me because it says, the cry of the angel of waters. Who knew that there was an angel over the waters? God has assigned angels over everything, even you. And I heard the angel of waters saying, you are righteous, O Lord, the one who is, who was, and who is to be, because you have judged these things. Verse 6 says, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due. Pay attention. And I heard another from the altar saying, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. That's from the New King James Version. Angels of the water crying. Scripture initiates that various angels have various powers and ministries over and in the earth. Now, the one about the angel of waters is found in Revelations 16 and 5. Now, the fourth vial, scorching heat. It's Revelation 16, 8 through 9. The fourth angel poured out his vial on the sun, and it scorches men with intense heat. This scorching heat is not a normal heat wave, but a supernatural affliction that causes extreme pain and suffering. In the past, the sun was a symbol of God's provision and blessings. Psalms 84 and 11. But now it becomes an instrument of his judgment. The heat causes men to be burned, but instead of repenting, they curse God. Can you believe that? They curse him for the pain that they're going through. This shows the hardness of their hearts. They refuse to turn to God despite the severity of the judgment, further demonstrating their rebellion against God. Make sure you're not in that number. Make sure you're not doing this same thing. You know, there are times when I'm driving that some people pass by me, almost run me over. And I just creep on to the light. And guess what? By the time I get there, they have raced to get to the light and they don't want to look at you. Of course, I've done this too. Feel like I'm in a hurry, racing by somebody, get to a red light, and here they come up creeping right next to me. And you don't want to look at them because you don't feel your best. So I want to say to you, you see, God is trying to talk to each and every one of you. He's telling you, take your time and go through life following me. And sometimes following God seems like the slow way, slow boogie. Seems like, oh, you got to do it right, but everybody else is getting somewhere and they're doing it wrong. Not so. Stay with him, okay? Let him be the Lord of your life. Submit yourself to him and let him guide your path. Last week, we talked about there are Christians that eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They go to church every Sunday. They pray to God in the morning and at night. They put money in church. Okay. They're good Christians, but they live off of their own mind, what they've learned and how they learned it from grandmother, grandfather, you know, uncle, buddy, anybody. They learn this stuff from, and that's what they live out of and operate out of every day. That is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But God has provided a way for us to rest in his peace. And do you go to God for each and everything, and he will guide thy path. He will show you things that was written for you before the beginning. Amen. Pay attention. The scorching sun serves as a reminder of the power of God over his creation, not ours. He created the sun to bless humanity, but now he uses it to bring suffering as a result of mankind's rejection of his grace and mercy.
The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Today, we are reminded of the sacrifice of our Savior. His body broken, his blood spilled, the weight of our sin crushing his shoulders. Today, we confess our unrighteousness. We lay down our arrogance. We surrender in obedience at the foot of the cross. Today, we remember.
The choice, or the choices, to follow God. And when I say choice, I mean there are many times, many places each day that we make a choice, or we have choices to make. And one of them is to go your way, or one is to go God's way. That's all for this week, but you got to come back to hear the end of the seven vials. And that's going to be very interesting how this ends up. We'll see you next week. Talk to you then. Bye-bye. This joy that I have, I won't give it, the world can't take it away, take it away, take it away. This joy that I have, I won't give it, the world can't take it away, take it away, take it away. Joy that I have, my Father gave it, it's for you and me. You and